We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and the name of this Bible study is Seek the Best Gift. Seek the best gift. And I'm not talking about a particular sex opinion, sex being S-E-C-T, right? I'm not talking about a particular denomination opinion. I'm talking about the best gift that you can have according to the Word of God. Amen? How many people want to know what the Word of God says is the best gift? Alright? Now the best gift, you must understand, is going to be something that brings edification to the body of Christ and can be used to win the lost to Him. Amen? So the best gift is not speaking in tongues. Did you get that? The best gift is not even healing. The best gift can, a part of it, be hospitality to a degree. But the best gift you can have is the communication of the gospel to the world and the people around you. Amen? It's a gift. To learn how to be a prophet, to speak prophetically, does not mean that you have a word of knowledge. It means that you become a preacher. Somebody that is able, through the Spirit of the Lord, to bring the truth home to people. Amen? Now, I sit there and preach before hundreds and even before thousands. And it always amazes me what happens, because I know that it is not me. And this gift that is given to us is only through Holy Spirit power. It is only through allowing the Holy Spirit to use you, and it only happens when your desire is to be used. So one of the things that must happen for you to get the best gift is you must decide that you want to be used. Father, today I just ask you, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place, that every word spoken, every thought that might run through my mind be just from you, Lord God. God, I ask that you help me to communicate the truth to others that they might know that it is you, God. Lord, as we explore your word, I ask that you remove the calluses from the heart, the mind, and the ears of the people in this room in order that they might hear your truth and be changed by it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, all right. It says, chapter 14, it says, pursue love. What does that mean? The love of God, the love of Jesus, the ability to love others whether they love you or not. Amen? And desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Amen? To be able to communicate the Word of God through His Holy Spirit to other people is the best gift that you can have. So in all you're getting, above all gifts, seek that gift for your life. Amen? For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, however in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Now I pray in tongues. I am a tongue talker. I believe in those things. But you will very seldom hear me praying in tongues. Why? Because the Bible also says, do not speak in tongues unless there is interpretation. Now, I don't have that prophetic word coming out of me when I'm speaking in tongues. I have a prayer language coming out of me. Amen? That is my prayer language, that I know not aught what I pray, but the Spirit makes intercession through me. Amen? And most people have the gift, or can have the gift, of praying in tongues. But that is for self-edification and for communication between you and God. That is not to profit anybody really but you. And that is why you are not to communicate in that kind of a fashion unless somebody is there with the interpretation. Amen. Do you understand that? See, there's so much confusion in the church today, but it's because they choose not to read the Bible. It's not that the Bible doesn't make it clear. So, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the praying of tongues. I believe in Holy Spirit power. I believe in those things. But the Bible does not say that is the best gift. But it is a gift. It says it is a gift. It is a gift. It is given to you as the Spirit wills. Amen? Okay, let's go on. But he who prophesies, that person that is able to communicate the gospel and the truth of God, speak edification and exhortation and comfort to men. What's it saying? As I am able to break down and communicate the Bible to you, I am bringing edification into your life, and the Word of God through the communication is exhorting you to rise up. Do you understand? It is helping you to move upward towards God and how to really take the Word of God and use it in your life. So it says that the best gift is the one that can communicate understandably the Word of God to others. And that's what they're talking about when they're talking about prophets. Amen? It's not the gift of prophecy. That is another gift. But a prophet is one that takes the Word of God and communicates it in a knowledgeable way to people, in a way that they can understand, where they can apply it and grow from it. Amen? That is what a prophet's job is. And through the Holy Spirit speaking through that person, that it tugs on the heart of people, and because of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, they come to know Jesus. Do you understand? And that is why it is the best gift, is because God would have everyone to be saved. Amen? So when we're talking about our prayer language is good. It's great. I think you should have it, and I think you should seek it. Now, I didn't get my prayer language by somebody laying hands on me. Because I went to a church at the time where there was a bunch of old geezers in there. And pardon me, Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way. Older than young individuals. Amen. And I was in there and I wanted the gift of the Holy Spirit. And what happened to me is there was a bunch of old guys jabbing me in my ribs and stuff, telling me to say whatever comes out of my mouth. And what came out of my mouth was, don't do that to me. I ain't that kind of guy. Now, I do not think that was the gift of tongues coming out of my mouth. But I had like about 20 old guys around me goosing me and stuff, and I didn't play that stuff. I said, homie, don't play this stuff. Do you understand? But later on, the Lord in private rewarded me with that seeking that I wanted so bad. I wanted the real gift. I didn't want to be taught how to pray in tongues. Right? I didn't want to be taken to the back room of the church and shown how to pray in tongues. I wanted the gift from God of speaking to Him in the heavenly language, and He rewarded me when I diligently sought it. And that is a great gift, but it is not the greatest gift. The greatest gift is to be a prophet. And when I say a prophet, I mean somebody that can communicate the Word of God to others, whereby they may be saved, whereby they may be exhorted to good works, whereby they might be edified. Amen? And if you think about it, what greater gift could God give somebody? Amen? So when I say seek the best gift, I'm here to tell you that this is one gift I believe God wants to give to us all. Doesn't God want you to be able to go out and witness in power to people and justify the truth in what you speak? Doesn't He want you to be able to talk manageably to people where they understand what you're saying? Doesn't He want you to be able to give justification for your faith? Amen? So certainly this is one gift, I believe, that is for everybody if you will seek it. All right? It says in verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. My prayer language is for me and God. Amen? I'm talking to God. For what? Personal edification. And it's great. And I do it. And I love it. And it fills me and recharges my batteries. But what does it do for anybody else? You think about that. And that's why I'm telling you that we need to study on this 1 Corinthians 14. Because indeed, it is the best gift. And when I say it's the best gift, I don't mean it'd probably be the gift you might want first. I'm just telling you it is the best for all. Which means it's not for you, but it's so you can share God's good news with all. Amen? So it says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. This is Paul. Man, he's my hero. I want you to know, of all the people in the Bible, Paul is my hero. I mean, he's my hero. He's all the things that I would like to be in God. Amen? Number one, he was a scholar even before he met Jesus. Right? He went to the school of Gamaliel. It was the most prestigious school in Judea of the day. It'd be like going to, I don't know, Oral Roberts University maybe. But much more than that. I don't know. I could think of other ones. I just, the first one comes to my mind. I mean, it was a status symbol involved in that. And believe me, Oral Roberts University is a status symbol. Amen? And there are many great colleges, but when people say that one, they automatically align Oral Roberts and the people in that college and all that together. And it is a status symbol to go to that college, and so would be in that day going to the school of Gamaliel. Amen? If you were going to be the high priest of the Judean faith of the day, you would have gone to the school of Gamaliel. Amen? If you were going to be one of the best priests, one of those that ran the biggest synagogues of the day, you would have gone to the school of Gamaliel. Do you understand? And the way you got in is your parents and everything had to have the right lines. Are you getting this? So he did the religious right thing of that day. All the way. So he already knew the Word of God. Because in those days, you guys complain about learning verses. They had to memorize the whole Bible. They didn't have paper. They had clay tablets and papyrus that was very expensive. And they shared scrolls. And from the time they were little, they memorized the books of Moses. Are you hearing me? The prophet Isaiah. The book of Psalms. You get it? So they were very knowledgeable in the Word, although they did not yet have the Holy Spirit. All right? Now you, on the other side, cannot be a true prophet today without the Holy Spirit empowering you to be a prophet. Because without the Holy Spirit in you, you don't know how to prophesy. Because you are yet carnal, you are not yet spiritual. Amen? I told you before, and it's not to brag because it's not a brag point, but the first time I ever read the Bible, I was in a fancy resort called Huntsville. And in Huntsville, they blessed me with a solo abode. It was a hole in the ground. And I could have a pair of underwear and a Bible. And I read that Bible 2.5 times and understood nothing. Why? Because I was spiritually dead. You understand? So without the Holy Spirit, you really can't understand the Word of God. And that's why the Jews of the day did not truly understand when Jesus showed up, because the Holy Spirit was not yet in power on earth at that time. He came upon different prophets, and he was there for a minute, and then when that particular thing was done, he left again. But on the day of Pentecost, you see, that's when he came in and split the heavens wide open, and you hear about that loud noise that was heard all over the city. Now, Jerusalem was a big town. So for people to hear it all around the city, it was an actual physical noise as God split the air open and poured out His Spirit on us here on earth. Amen? So we can praise God that today the Holy Spirit can reside in us. But even then, you must be self-motivated to get the things that God wants you to have. When Jesus hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," He meant His job is finished. Now all things are available to you. But what do you want? Well, me, I want the best. And as soon as I figured out what the best was, I started seeking it. And you know what? I did want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that did happen. You understand? But later on I found out that wasn't the best gift. The best gift is to be a prophet. The best gift is to be one that can communicate the gospel to all. The best gift is to be able to bring all that exhorting, right, into the church body to help them to lift them up and to be able to justify the truth of God to those that are not yet believers. How many people can see why that would be the best gift? Because God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Right? So the truth is, He really wants all of us to have this gift. Alright. It says in verse 6, "But now, brethren, if I come to you," you see, tongues is not a new controversy. You get it? Tongues is not a new controversy. Do you get it? It's still controversial today because we got to just get things in order. God is a God of order. Amen? It is a great gift, but it is a gift. You know, I better not talk about that. I don't think you guys are ready for Christian history. It's pretty ugly sometimes, I'll tell you that. Amen? "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching?" How am I going to benefit you if I just stand up here all day, rub-a-dub-dub to six men in a tub, El Shundai, and fall over and get up and start again? I mean, that's what Paul's saying, you know. He said, hey, let's just think about this. How am I going to profit you by El Shundai falling on the ground, running around my piano? You getting it? Screaming, la, 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 or whatever I want to do. How is that going to be profitable for God's people? And I'm trying to be slightly facetious, you know, kind of, sort of, but some people are very much, they really think that that's really what's going on. And I'm going to tell you, it's a great thing, but that's not what's going on. If you speak, and I got as many tongue talkers in this room that have fallen and bumped their heads as people that have never spoken tongues in their life. Amen? I'm just telling you. The truth is that it is a gift, but the power comes in your submission to God. Amen? The power comes, you better get this, the power comes in your submission with your life to God. I'm not telling you there isn't power in the prayer language. I'm going to talk about the real power comes in your submission to God. Amen? So it says, "Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle?" How many people have ever had kids playing horns in their presence? You know, they come home and they got the mouthpiece and they're sitting there going, and you're sitting there and your dad or mom and you're going, "Oh my goodness. Here, son, daughter, come with me. I think the basement is perfect for you." Right? And they go down there and they're... But there's no distinction in the sound. It sure ain't music. You can lie to them, but don't lie to me. And what he's saying is, if people do not understand the sound the instrument is making, or if people do not understand the word that you are speaking, how can it be edifying to them? Did you get that? And don't get me wrong, you know, I'm for everything. But I want to have my life in order. Amen. I want to know what's right according to God. I want to know what God thinks about everything. And I want to adjust my life to what He says is right. You get it? I've been, I'm going to give this one instance and I'll quit picking on it, you know, because, you know, I am a Pentecostal believer. Don't ever misunderstand anything I say, you know. But I'm just telling you that, like all things, sometimes we go too far. People can go too far. How many people know that we all have a tendency to exaggerate things. You know, like the minnow you caught that was this big, and by the time you got home and nobody was with you, it was like, you know, and it took you 2 minutes to drag it in. Man, I was there all afternoon. I mean, that's human nature, isn't it? So the same thing happens sometimes in our churches today. And what happened was we took our stage out and we did a big old outreach out in the middle of the valley. And me and my team had rounded up maybe 100 people and we were feeding them and stuff. And we're going to bring them a word. And we had co-labored with a offshoot Pentecostal church. They were great people. They're good people. Their heart was to do right. And I gave the pastor the mic and he hopped up on the stage and he goes, "Okay, everybody, let's pray for the power of God in tongues. El Shaddai, blah, 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 blah." I'm in the middle of a park, for crying out loud. There are heathens in every corner of this park. And we had rounded up 100 unbelievers to hear a salvation message and music. And when they got done praying in tongues, there wasn't nobody on any part of the park by us. Was their heart in the right place? I believe it was. But were they operating in wisdom? Absolutely not. Are you starting to get what I'm saying now? The people that don't believe don't speak in tongues. As a matter of fact, I got some bad news for people. Devils speak in tongues. And as a matter of fact, most people that don't speak in tongues that are heathens, they believe as soon as they hear that stuff, think it is devils speaking. I mean, they may be crazy and lost, but they don't want to get that crazy. Can we talk about it? Is it okay? I mean, we're all grown up here, you know. Let's talk about some real things. Let's quit looking at the Bible like it's just a storybook for fantasy land. And let's look at it for what it is, which is instruction for those to grow up in God. It is instruction for us to become all we can be. It is telling us the truth, and we've got to operate in it. Amen? So if a person doesn't understand, that'd be like me going, I'm going to tell you another way that you can blow it, is like, let's just say myself, I don't speak Spanish. Well, we can say it because I don't. And if I was to go down into Mexico and not have an interpreter and just start yelling at them in English, I'd probably get mugged. You can't bring the Word of God to people in power unless you're communicating with the people that are there. Hello. Let's get a grip on our lives. Amen. All right. Okay, so likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy. I want to give this book to most pastors I know. You don't mind me. I scar my own Bible. You should scar yours. So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand. Sometimes, and I'm fairly educated, when I get done listening to a sermon, I got to go home and I got a list of words I got to look up. You know what I mean? I went to a prophecy conference one time that I had a whole book of notes that was nothing but words. I had no clue what they meant. You know? Hey, you know what? We got to be able to relate to people. We got to use little bitty words so they don't got to struggle and get hung up on a word, but they get the message. You know what I mean? All right. Let's go on. All right. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world that none of them is without significance. He's not down on anything. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks. And he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Are you understanding? What he's saying is, okay, don't we all want gifts? We all want spiritual gifts. Amen? We all want spiritual gifts. But he's saying that in all you're getting, get the gifts that will edify the church. Get the gifts that will bring growth into the church. Get the gifts that will communicate the truth to the church. You know, that even makes sense. There's a lot of places today you go where there's a lot of people talking about a lot of nothing. We need to get to a place where all of us learn to communicate about something that's worthwhile. We need to be the ones that when we talk, we're not just mumbling and rattling, but everything that we say has a meaning that people can understand. Amen? It's like I walk through the guys, you guys that I got here, and I hear some of your noise sometimes, and I'll go, what part of that was edifying? And you're talking about your old girlfriend, your old boyfriend, your old this, your old that. What is that? That's trash. There's no part of that that should be coming out of you no more. No, we should be speaking to each other, the Bible says, in psalms and hymns, so that we're uplifting one to another. How many people ever get depressed here? Besides me. Okay, we all go through things, amen? And if we as a body start to learn to lift each other up, exhort one another unto good works, we can help each other to excel greatly in our life in God. Amen? And those are the kind of gifts we need to seek above all. Because we are much stronger as a group of people that is helping one another than we are as individuals in our prayer closet all by ourselves. You get it? We need the whole body in action, well, healthy, right? Okay, I'm almost there. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfaithful. I pray in tongues all the time. And once in a while, God will give me a word while I'm praying about what I'm talking about. But mostly, I ain't got a stinking clue. But it feels good, and I can feel myself filling up, and I know it's edifying unto my spirit, but I don't even know what I'm talking about. Are you hearing me? I want to, when people hear me speak, I want them to be lifted up by what I'm saying. I want them to be understanding what I'm saying. I don't want them to look like this. You understand? I want them to know that I serve God and that I'm here for people and that in fact I'm trying to tell truth. Amen? Not that I'm a dingleberry. You get it? I may be a dingleberry for Christ, but I don't know. I don't want them to know that. I want to keep that to myself. All right? So what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks? Right? Since he does not understand what you say. For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified, doesn't know what you're talking about. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Amen. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be vase, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Now you see the clear instruction that Paul is bringing to the church. He's saying, when people come in that don't know anything, are they going to interpret what you're doing as you're a bunch of dingbats? Or that you love God and you're of a sound mind? Amen? But if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all and he is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed, and so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Amen. You see, people, I went through this whole piece because it's a hard one because we're Pentecostals. You understand? And we believe in a lot of things, and we believe in all the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in laying on the hands of the elders. I believe in the prayer of faith by which others are made well. I believe and I act in those things. But of all the gifts that there are, the best gift that you can have is the gift of prophecy. To be a prophet. To be able to take and speak to people in a word that they understand. That you might communicate the mysteries of the gospel in such a way that God uses you and tugs on that person's heart in order that they might come to the Lord. And those that are baby believers or young believers might hear what you have to say and be edified and uplifted and get understanding of what they've really been looking for in their life. And of all the groups of people that have all the different gifts, the biggest thing that our church needs today is people that are communicators of His Word to the edifying of the body of Christ, to the convincing of the unbelievers of the truth of our hope, who is Jesus. And that, people, is the greatest gift that we all must seek if we're going to do impact in this world we live in today. Amen. Do you understand? You see, and I hope I said it in a way where you understand that I love being filled up by Holy Spirit power. You know what I mean? I love my private prayer closet. I love that time alone with God. I love those things. But you know what? The whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. Amen? It says, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and narrow is the way that leads unto life. And I do not want to be the one that people run from because they do not have understanding of what I'm doing. You get it? I'm here to tell you today that we must be all things to all people. Sound familiar? And to the unbeliever, we must be relatable and trustworthy. And they must look at us as if we really do know what we're talking about. Because in fact, when we're speaking to them, we're communicating clearly and in ways that they understand. So in all you're getting, seek the good gift, the best gift, according to the Word of God, which is the ability to communicate the gospel, not just to believers, but to unbelievers, in a way that they can understand through Holy Spirit power, so that they might come to know the truth of God in you and later on in them. Amen? I'm telling you, people, I am really in a place in my life where I pray that you all listen to this word. There are too many people that are full of bless me's. Bless me, Lord. 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 You hear me? There's too many people in church that they go to church, they try to do things so that the Lord will bless their lives. I'm going to tell you the biggest blessing that comes in your life is leading others to the Lord. It's the biggest high, and I've been high. So I know a little bit about high. You know what I mean? But it's the biggest and the best high you can be on. And you feel that wellness, that goodness, you know, where you've done something really good in your life. And then to watch them, once they're saved, that their eyes be open and they're in that oh wow state. Every time you teach them something, they're going, oh wow, yeah. Oh wow, yeah. Oh wow, yeah. You understand? And those are the things that build the church. And those are the things that fill in the chinks in the armor. And those are the things that are most lacking in the church today. We need to be a people that is about edifying and exhorting our people. We need to be in all our things that communicator, that has that sincere heart with God, where God gives us that gift to communicate clearly the Word of God to others. You know, you can be, and I'm going to digress for a minute, you can be dying of thirst next to a river of water with your back just turned to it. And if you don't turn over, right, you'll die of thirst anyway. Somebody sometimes has to be there to tell that person that is struggling so hard, even though they love God, that, hey, the water's on the other side, man. Flip over. Do you get it? And sometimes that apt word spoken at the right minute might be the very thing they need to sustain their life. So in all your getting, get Jesus. And on top of that, learn how to communicate about Him to others. That is the greatest gift. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I love You, God, and let it be today that this be the time, God, when we acknowledge and make that decision that it's not just enough to seek our own gifts, but God, it is up to You, Lord, to help us to seek the best gift. Lord, let it be in this house that every person feels the tug to learn about this best gift, God. That each of us desire in our heart to teach others, to be able to preach to others, to be able to exhort others in every way, so that our body might be full and strong. And we thank You for it today. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said,
Amen. Amen.